Welcome to the fifth episode of the Indigenous Hour. Today we are once again podcasting from an island, however not Greenland as in previous episode, but the Estonian island of Kihnu. This is a tiny 16 square kilometer or 6 mile square mile island located in the Gulf of Riga of the Baltic Sea, off the western coast of Estonia. And what makes Kihnu one of a kind place, both in Estonia and beyond, is its people and culture. Despite its small population, Kihnu has approximately 500 residents. Its cultural heritage is unique enough to have merited inclusion of Kihnu cultural space into UNESCO's representative list of the intangible cultural heritage of humanity. And while the people of Kihnu may not fully meet the criteria of indigenous people, they still, in my view, share many indigenous elements. And most importantly, a centuries-old connection with their land and the surrounding sea, a distinct identity of Kihnu Islander, or as they say, Kihnlane. And everything that makes up this rather abstract notion of a cultural space. So, more importantly, for the audience of this podcast, I believe that the experience of Kihnu, especially in the areas of safeguarding cultural heritage and developing cultural tourism, can provide some inspiration and ideas to indigenous peoples all over the world. And today we'll be sharing some of these stories and experiences with the guest of the hour, Mare Mätas. Tere, Mare, and welcome to the Indigenous Hour.
Tere, tere. Welcome. Welcome you also to Kihnu Island.
Thank you. And so Mare, she is pretty much an indigenous Kihnu Islander, who is also one of the most active carriers and promoters of Kihnu culture. She has many jobs and social roles. On the one hand, Mare is leader of a foundation, Kihnu Cultural Space, or in Estonian, Kihnu Kultuuriruum, which is the main local organization tasked with safeguarding Kihnu cultural heritage in line with the UNESCO Convention. But she also works as a teacher, or has worked as a teacher at Kihnu School, and she's a tourism guide and entrepreneur. I think she's the best person to tell about Kihnu and Kihnu people for the listeners of this podcast. So maybe we start off by exploring a little the, in what way the people of Kihnu can be considered indigenous, because on the one hand, the Kihnu people are not claiming the rights to self-determination. They are not speaking loudly about being indigenous, but still there seems to be something indigenous about the Kihnu people. And maybe we can just explore what it could be, and perhaps start with the connection between the people and the land. For example, let's take your family, your ancestors. Do you know how many centuries your ancestors have been living on this island?
All my family and my husband, who is a real Kihnu Islander also, our roots, we don't know even exactly, but we think that we are quite sure that since 14th century people lived already in this island, and they came from west coast in Estonia, maybe the biggest researcher Theodor thought so, and the first settlers from Kihnu are ethnical Estonians, but some Swedish came here, and also some people from Livonia, and so north part of Latvia. So our dialect or language, what we are speaking here right now, is western part Estonian dialect, but the intonation is Swedish-like, scientist was saying. And so those people who are Kihnu Islanders, real Islanders, they have roots and centuries already the grandparents lived here. Always those people who are coming from mainland, we are not count those like Kihnu people. Kihnu Islanders are those who have roots here.
And others are the kind of the wieras, the strangers, so to say, yeah?
I say Võõras because it's a soft version and very friendly. But we in our dialect we use another word also, which is massakas. And this is my feeling, is this is shows that this massakas, if you want to laugh about her, him, or about them, it's not, seems for me, it's not so friendly, but some people say that it is friendly also to say masakas. This is a person from mainland and okay. don't know our traditions and our hobbies.
Mm. Can you tell something about the strength of the connection between Kihnu Islanders and the land in terms of, you know, emotionally, spiritually, you know?
Mm. It is... if you born here in this island and if you grow up here, you love so much this island and this land and this small piece of land, which is middle of the Baltic Sea or Gulf of Livonia, and you are used of you are, because why we love this land so much and why maybe nowhere else or not another small islands are people are so vital like Kihnu people. Why we have so vitality, the reason is that those people who are living here, the special culture is keeping young generation and old people here. But the connection with land and the sea, our most important living substances are connected with sea. Men were always sailors and fishermen and seal hunters and women take care of the land. They are farming agriculture, this is a woman work and main thing what they have done all during the whole history when men were away and so yeah, it's really really important. We know our island very well and all corners and all stones and everything is important here.
One of the ideas that you are working on and actually we have been discussing also several times now is whether Kihnu Islanders could claim a status of an indigenous community, if not indigenous people, with certain rights resulting from that. Can you maybe comment on that and just say what are some of the reasons why it could be important for Kihnu Islanders to claim some indigenous status, even if not the right to self-determination necessarily?
Mm. Yes, we are already 15 years, have been in this UNESCO heritage list, and this is like a trademark which is supporting our culture and we should be proud of our culture, but it is not helping enough. We have many problems here, culture traditions like which are connected with nature a main thing and main problem. For example, we are collecting during the springtime seabirds, seagull, eggs, and this is strictly forbidden by law. And we are and there are many laws which a law which is protecting or which is about fishing and there are problems. Fishermen have problems with this law about fishing, and right now we have the biggest problem this season. We are speaking in the autumn is always a time when hunters are coming, not always, but last 5 years maybe hunters coming to the island, and they are coming from Italy, and this is mentally totally different culture, and they are shooting here ducks, and we are love those ducks, and we are growed ups of ducks and with what is community, that tradition that sometimes in some families are fathers and also hunting and shoot maybe 2 or 3 or maximum 5 ducks during the autumn time and we are cooks those and we are making food of them, but those hunters who are coming from Italy, they are just shoot ducks, and this is they do it for the pleasure. They don't want to eat some meat, and this is not necessary needs what they have, just having a fun in some area which is not important for them at all. And I'm thinking that one one opportunity to protect Kinu nature, and so we can say indigenous people here is maybe if we are identified with self like indigenous community.
One of the unique things about Kihnu is that its so-called cultural space has been listed in the UNESCO list of intangible cultural heritage, or ICH. Can you tell our listeners what exactly does this Kihnu cultural space mean?
Why we are in this UNESCO list? The main reason is our wedding tradition. And the wedding tradition is really unique. It is similar or Finno-Ugric people, they have same traditions, but those traditions didn't survive. And our tradition survived till 21st century. And why is this wedding so important? Our folklorists and researchers are saying that our folk songs are more than 2,000 years old. And this wedding ceremony is, those traditions also are pre-Christian. Those are pagan traditions which are in this wedding. And nowadays it's also most difficult thing to keep this tradition alive because of wedding. We are maintained our handicraft skills, for example, because a bride should make a lot of handicraft. She dividing during the wedding ceremony out from her dowry chest 100 pairs of socks and mittens and belts and stockings and everything, our traditional handicraft. And so you need a good skills in handicraft, in knitting. During this wedding ceremony, as I mentioned already, those old folk songs are very important. And also we dance a lot, traditional dances, and we eat traditional food. And of course also old, very old traditions and rituals which are in this wedding are still important, and yes, this is main thing why we are in this UNESCO list, and this is most difficult just to keep it, but also the other things also, like our language, our dialect is one thing, our folk costumes. Kihnu is interesting also in 21st century that we are still wear our traditional folk costumes as a everyday wearing. Through the young generation, maybe it is not so much everyday costume anymore. They are all the young people, they wear another costumes also, but we have ladies from older generation who are still wearing only traditional costumes and nothing else. And that's why everybody have skills, and we are weave during the winter time our striped skirts, and we need those a lot because they are living costume and it is developing, and the new patterns and designs are coming out every year, and this is a living tradition, and we are about our singing and dancing. This is very special, and also very special is that in our island are very strong women who are tradition keepers, and many people who stayed here and longer and looked at the community from distance and lived together maybe sometime with community in the winter time or in the summer time and all over the year, they have made conclusion that here is a kind of matriarchy. This word matriarchy is a little bit outred maybe, but what is right, that the mental culture keepers are nowadays and since 20th century are women, and men are very innovative. They are bringing all new ideas to the island, and they are buying new things, and they are very often they are travel a lot and see the other people and how they are living. But women have been and stayed always during the history in the island, and keeping traditions, and in the way are very conservative. They are not believe that the new things are always good.
How does that division of gender roles compare to this modern understanding of gender balance and all that?
I don't know. Sometimes young men from Kihnu Island also insulted that, for example, we have very, very, very nice young mayor here in the island. He started to work in local government in our municipality when he was 22 years old, and now he is 30 years old, and he's developing Kihnu Island a lot. But when all newspapers all over the world are writing that he is a matriarch and women are leading and doing everything, then they are sometimes feel that the other men were doing a lot for the Kihnu Island, that this is not unfair, this is unfair. But anyway, the difference is that men and Kihnu men who are hardworking and clever and so on, they are do all the things that all men doing all over the world. They are building roads and harbour and develop this kind of things, or built houses, but doing all men all over the world the same thing. But mental culture keepers are still women. Everything what is connected with the personal life circle, the birth and the wedding ceremony, which is most important, and for this UNESCO thing also, and the Kihnu traditional funeral, everything is led by women. Men, they have second part of this. Or during the Soviet period, when the church life was the atheistic ideology in Soviet Union, it was it was kind of taboo to go to the church or celebrate the Christmas or all calendar events. During this time, women also kept this tradition alive in this island, and men wasn't interested at all. They are not very religious in 20th century, and they are not so strong tradition keepers as a woman. Women are very interested of everything which is connected with traditions.
So what would you say are the main challenges that the Kihnu cultural space is facing right now in the context of an independent Estonia, and also globalization and all those forces that, that somehow positively or negatively surely affect Kihnu culture?
It is a difficult time right now because we don't know what is happening next, because those old traditional living substances, those are not not important anymore in nowadays world. It is changing, even the sailing. Some men from Kihnu Island, or a lot of men, studied in Maritime Academy, and then they have become sailors, and they are sailing somewhere in the Nordic Sea and working in cargo ships as sea captains. But my husband also, they say that it is, there is no future anymore. People from this area, because people from the other countries are coming to work there, from Philippines or from Ukraine. What is happening here, and this is not future living substance anymore. But and the fishing is very problematical also, because if young people, they are going to study in university, then they can't find maybe work here in the island, and they don't want to become a fisherman, which is the simplest way to live here and get income. Fishing is very much depending on weather conditions, and if it's autumn or winter time, it might be very stormy, and then you can't fish long periods and you don't get any income maybe.
So is it then so that it's the economic development or economics that in the long run determines how viable Kihnu culture will stay? And
yeah, that's right. It's very, very much engaged, this economics and culture, because people can keep and live traditional way in this island only if they have good income. And Kihnu people need income, because we send our children to the mainland school when they are age of 16 usually, so the income must be good and not normal in Estonia, that the living standards, Kihnu people want that they are living standards as in the same level like the other people. And it's right now difficult, but it might, we will hope that maybe in the future people can do kind of long distant work that with computers, those who are well educated. But it not happened yet, but it seems that this is one opportunity for the future. But now is time of big changes. That those people who studied in the universities, they stay in the mainland because they don't find solutions how to do the work in the island. Even we have good internet connection in like in everywhere in Estonia, and we use digital signatures and everything, which is very well developed in Estonia. But anyway, it's difficult if you, for example, study biomedicine, what you're doing then in the island, or some young people study kinetics, for example, and then you never find work from this island.
Mm. In the next segment, we will talk more about the UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage Convention. But right now, perhaps we can have a little music break. So what is, maybe we'll listen to some Kihnu music. What will the first track be?
I suggest, because I was talking about wedding ceremony, and this is so important and the oldest living tradition here, and I suggest you to listen our wedding song, Runo Epic wedding songs.
Meie raisime oksad ojadesse, meie raisime oksad ojadesse, laiad vastud lainetesse, laiad vastud lainetesse. Siis ei kastas naine jalga, siis ei kastas naine jalga, naine jalga.
Welcome back to the Indigenous Hour. Today we are podcasting from the Kihnu Island, and my guest is Mare Mätas. Now we will be talking about UNESCO and specifically this Intangible Cultural Heritage Convention, where Kihnu cultural space has been listed for almost 15 years now, I believe. Can you tell a little about the background? How did it happen that Kihnu culture got into UNESCO, so to say?
Mm-hmm. About Kihnu culture, were already long time, and in 20th century, many researchers and ethnologists and cultural anthropologists and folklorists are very interested in this culture. And we have one famous documentary maker, Mark Soosaar, and huge research about Kihnu culture made folklorist Ingrid Rüütel, and they are all understand that this culture is very valuable, and it's very difficult to keep those tradition because of modernization, and together with Estonian Culture Ministry, they made application to UNESCO that Kihnu culture should be in this intangible cultural heritage list. And they mentioned, and in this application I wrote the most important things which should be protected and which is a very unique, and in this application, of course, were they worry a lot that the culture, because of modernization, maybe don't survive as long as we want in the future. And this is there are treats, a lot of treats were things which treating the culture, and they are pointed out those and thinking about it, and so UNESCO accepted. So since 2003 we are in this UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage List.
Yeah, and so what has this meant for Kihnu culture in a concrete way? Has it brought more funds, either national funds or some kind of global funds, or has it affected tourism in some way, or maybe the effect has been more on a community level, shaping the way Kihnu people think about themselves and their own culture? Or
Yes, it's one important thing always. If somebody outside is recognizing your culture, then you yourself start thinking about it also, and you are become proud, and you are keeping more your culture. It is important, but because of UNESCO, there also was written in this application that. UNESCO is not foundation, you're not getting support from UNESCO. Mm-hmm. First, we mm-hmm. were thinking that this is like a foundation, and now we are making applications to UNESCO that they are going to support our traditions and life and cultural life in the island. But very soon we understand this is not true, and only the state where this unique culture exists. It's the same state and government should support this culture, and in Estonia, the biggest support for Kihnu culture is coming from cultural ministry, and we have state program which is supporting Kihnu culture, but that's all. We don't have any programs which are supporting island economy, for example, or which is also, I think, very important, because this is a base of the culture. If you have economical base, then you can dance and sing here in this island. But if not, then it's difficult.
But I understand that the UNESCO label has also had some indirect positive effects in terms of tourism, for example, right? Because there certainly are tourists who come to Kihnu, at least partly because of the UNESCO recognition. And it's the UNESCO label that has made Kihnu a very important cultural tourism destination in Estonia. And you know about that firsthand because you are in the tourism business.
In our UNESCO application, there was also mentioned that in the future, Kihnu should be a place where the main visitors are cultural tourists, and I'm quite sure it happened during last maybe 10 years, and we self worked for that a lot also, but UNESCO, the trademark helping, of course, you know, everywhere in the world where is the UNESCO architecture, for example, Markland's architecture heritage, always big buses are coming and a lot of people are visiting those places where those trademark or this sign is written, and Kihnu is the same effect that a lot of tourists from distant countries, especially from Japanese tourists, and they are coming here because here is this trademark UNESCO. But what is bad and what is interesting that we and my foundation Kihnu Culture Space was taking care of these traditions, and we are making a lot of projects to maintain the unique culture and support things, and develop the cultural tourism. We want to use like the architecture, heritage list, built houses, and they can use UNESCO sign, but we can't use it, and we want to maybe point to this UNESCO sign also in our home pages or somewhere when the first guests are coming into Kihnu Harbour. I think that it is very beautiful if there is the first thing that there is a sign, this is UNESCO cultural heritage. It means that those people who are already coming, they have become a cultural tourist, because if they see this very valuable sign, then they start thinking maybe something valuable, and I behave better and so on.
Yeah, I think this is a really important point, and I hope that some UNESCO folks are also listening to this podcast, because in fact what you pointed out is that there is a difference the way UNESCO treats two of its conventions that deal with cultural heritage. There is the first and the better known World Heritage Convention, which focuses on physical heritage, such as architecture, but also natural sites, for example. And UNESCO has developed a rather elaborate system of how its logo can be used near those sites or on the way to those sites. And it actually promotes the usage of its logo. in connection with these sites. And then there is the other UNESCO convention about intangible or non-physical cultural heritage. This is where Kihnu cultural space is listed. Mm. And within that convention, UNESCO really hasn't thought through how its logo, how its how it can be associated with in those sites, right? And I think this is something we really all need to work on, because it doesn't take much money to figure mm-hmm. this out. Very often UNESCO responds to all kinds of questions or criticism saying, oh, we don't have money. But this doesn't require money. This mm-hmm. This requires a decision and a methodology. Mm-hmm. How regions whose cultural heritage is enlisted in the ICH list could take maximum advantage of this association with UNESCO, that still is a very important brand, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure we'll be working on that also going forward. Mm. But is there anything else that you would expect UNESCO to do to kind of support the whole process of safeguarding the cultural heritage?
And what we expect, what UNESCO should do? I think that UNESCO should promote also a little bit those places which are in this list, and maybe those who are generals or who are leading this organization or the department of intangible cultural heritage. Yes, themselves, I'm not sure if they have themselves visited the places where intangible cultural heritage places. I think that they should do it mm. themselves and promote.
Yeah, exactly. And again, a difference with the World Heritage Convention, because UNESCO has a long list of publications about World Heritage Sites.
Mm.
Just, you know, go to Amazon and you'll see so many, you know, some published by UNESCO, some also by other publishers. But there is really nothing analogous for the intangible cultural heritage.
Mm.
And I think it's a pity that the cultural heritage that resides in people's minds
mm-hmm.
That is somehow in an orphan's situation mm-hmm. a little compared mm-hmm. to the architecture and the, you know, the castles and mm-hmm. palaces of this world.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is an area where UNESCO could improve its game. But despite those issues, would you recommend world's indigenous peoples to still look into this intangible cultural heritage convention and see how they could enlist their cultural heritage?
Yes, sure. I think that all people who maintain special culture and special lifestyle and they all need this improvement and to be secure that they are in the right way and they should. Everybody who has such identity, it's very good if somebody supporting them and giving them, like we have this trademark that they are in this UNESCO list, and it is always helping to protect the unique culture in the world and people who indigenous peoples and people who have unique culture should do it. I think so.
Okay, that's, I think, an excellent message. In the next segment, we'll be talking about developing tourism in Kihnu, but maybe now we'll also listen to some Kihnu music. And what will it be this time?
This time, maybe I was first telling you that here are very strong women, and women are traditional keepers, and even some newspapers and journalists are writing last matriarchy in Europe. But in Kihnu history is very important part has also men, and they were since middle of 19th century and beginning of 20th century, they all were sailors, they always were away from the island. That's why women become rulers here in this island, and they are made very beautiful folk songs which describing those places where they were visiting, and so sailor songs are very important. Very important in our culture.
Me ammärtsi kuullaen merelle Myös maha jäät myö pruudike, nää märtsikuulein merele. Myös maha jäät myö pruudike, sest meri on tmeo helukoht. Myö rõõm ja lootus äädä oht, sest meri on tmeo helukoht. Myö rõõm ja lootus äädä oht. Kus kohas jõlu samm on veel, kui suvisel ajal mere peal. Kus kohas jõlu samm on veel, kui suvisel ajal mere peal. Kui laev läb kärmes teedasi ja päike paistab soojasti. Kui laev läb kärmes teedasi ja päike paistab soojasti, siis mere lained hõlpsasti, me laeva kandvad rannale. Siis mere lained hõlpsasti, me laeva kandvad rannale. Kui vaikset tasased nad on, siis meremehe on ja õnn. Kui vaikset tasased nad on, siis meremehe on ja hõnn. Kui ilmleb vahest tormile, tuul tõstab lained kõrgele. Kui ilmleb vahest tormile, tuul tõstab lained kõrgele. Ei julgu siiski kaotama, ei lõhu südant murega. Ei julgu siiski kaotama, ei rõhu südant murega.
Welcome back to the Indigenous Hour. We are podcasting from the tiny but still culturally great Kihnu Island. My guest today is Mare Mättas. So Mare, you are not only a cultural leader or cultural expert here in Kihnu, but also a tourism entrepreneur. You're a tour guide, you provide accommodation services, you organize events that attract tourists to Kihnu. Maybe you can tell us a bit more about this side of your work. How did you realize that you actually want to go into tourism business?
I since I was young and studied in university, and beginning of 90s I already started work in the summer period here in the tourist companies as a guide. So I have already long career in tourism business, but myself I started as an entrepreneur 3 years ago, and reasons were the same like the other people, that the income in this cultural field are very 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 low, and so you should, if you're living in this small island, you should do a lot of work and as much you can to survive and send your children to the school in the mainland. And so I made decision also that I should start in this tourism business myself. And and right now in Kihnu Island, right now a lot of people, mostly those families and young families or people from my generation, they are become entrepreneurs, because in every year more and more tourists are visiting the island. I'm organizing, of course, cultural events also, especially in July we have a lot of things, and a lot of tourists are coming because we have a very big festival, sea and folklore festival, and we have summer theater, which is very popular through Estonians, and so lot of events and festivals and camps for children. So many, many tourists are coming here. And we have, last 2 years, we have a new ferry boat. It is, it's also help and giving opportunity for tourists to come to the island. And, but I think that it is good, because it's, those accommodations which are in the island are small home accommodations, and every year we are saying so that like it's the new accommodations are burning like mushrooms after the rain that people develop those accommodations. And in every house garden you might see in some villages that there are somebody made a handicraft shop and somebody made a bread and a local smoked fish shop in the garden, so tourists can visit those little shops also. And a lot of people are selling traditional handicraft because we have problems with maintaining the traditional wedding, so people still have skills and they are very hardworking and they are used, so they should knit all the time, but they are selling this handicraft for the tourists, and it helping to maintain the skills also in some way. It's sad, but the other way it's it is a reason why that you get extra income and you have a reason to knit and study knitting. And
so when we met for the first time, also here we are right now podcasting from Mare's home, it was 2007, and we also discussed tourism back then, and then I remember you were much more skeptical about tourism as such, and one of the issues at the time was that that Kihnu in summer was invaded by these kind of party tourists, yeah, who would create a lot of noise and all kind of trouble. But during this decade it seems the community has completely changed its attitudes about tourism, and actually how did that come about?
I think that it happened because those tourists were saying that they were alcohol tourists. They just came here because here in this island it's kind of freedom here, and here is no police and you can do what you want, you can drink and drive and nobody say nothing. And it was huge problem for the community because it was really, really, really difficult to accept those tourists, because this is anyway this is our home, and we didn't want it those people here. But the change was made nowadays I think that it is not so cheap to come to Kihnu Island anymore, because those people who are coming there, we are of course promote a lot, and in Estonian magazines and newspapers also, there are a lot of articles about Kihnu culture, and we are value we sell this culture, and other people in Estonia value the culture a lot, and it's a big change. Yes, was done that mostly those people who are visiting the island are cultural tourists. Sometimes, of course, in the summertime we have festivals and parties also where alcohol tourists coming, but this is not the main audience anymore. This is a few groups.
Would you say that the change in the structure of tourists, if you will, was because of Kihnu's own positioning as a tourism destination, or because of its own marketing, because of the messages that Kihnu community itself started sending out?
I think that these may be one thing, but the second thing is I'm quite sure that since we have those home accommodations and the main visitors in the summertime are families with small children from Estonia who have vacations in July, and then a lot of tourists are in the island, and the groups of families who are friends and with the same age of children, and they are the main visitors. And why they are coming, I can say that it is not so cheap anymore. Those alcohol tourists came here because it was cheap also to live here and drink. And but now you need income and money to spend here. And usually those tourists who are coming, they are really most of them are very nice people. They spend money here, they understand how the system is working, and they want to in some ways they want to support what we are doing here. They are pay for a home accommodation, they are pay for local food, they buy local souvenirs, and they are in many ways want to support the Kihnu culture that they are coming here. They are thinking, so on, they are very often and mostly they are very intelligent people who are coming here. So we must, we must think that we shouldn't organize events or festivals where the alcohol tourists are coming, because then the others don't want to come. The biggest festival I'm organizing myself, Kihnu Merepidu, Kihnu Sea and Folklore Festival, second weekend in July. Then very popular folk bands are coming to the island, and we organize markets where we sell traditional food and traditional handicraft and everything. This is this festival maybe, I right now already thinking that this is a little bit problematical, because this is a time also when people maybe drink here too much, and then the others don't want to come. And we must keep our festivals and things in the right balance, that everybody feels that
it's and, the right place. And offer the kinds of festivals and activities that appeal to this cultural tourist.
Yeah.
And also what you referred to was that Kihnu is not a cheap destination. And what you meant is that the services here on Kihnu Island, they are not so cheap. It is quite cheap to get to Kihnu Island. The ferry tickets cost, you know, just 2 or 3 euros, yeah?
Mm.
But on the island, indeed, it is not so cheap. And even this summer, I came here with my family and friends, and my friends from mainland were actually surprised that accommodation is not so cheap, you know? They had some kind of expectations that, well, because it's a small island, everything is so cheap, but it's not the case.
Mm.
And in fact, this kind of a pricing strategy, if you will, is also seems to be important in pricing out those alcohol tourists, as we say them in Estonia, ruilnokkad, from the island.
Mm-hmm. Because people who have, we are expecting people who have income and who have money and children and families and who value what we are doing here and who are satisfied that they are spend money here to support local people, and this is one branch which is developing right now, seems so.
And what would you say has the impact of tourism been on this cultural space and the cultural heritage? Has it been mostly positive because it has brought some additional income to Kihnu Islanders, and partly maybe encouraged working on handicrafts in some of these areas? Or have there also been some downsides from tourism for Kihnu culture and Kihnu traditional way of living?
Tourism is a thing that is always and everywhere, I think. It is not very pleasant thing for people, for local people who are living. And always tourists are disturbing, and happy are those people who are get some profit for this tourism. Maybe they are happy. But in Kihnu Island, beginning of 90s, there were only few people who get income from tourism, and mostly the income came from the sea. Mostly men were fishermen, and mostly the income, or they were sailors, or everybody did something else, and few people get income from tourism. And then the others and the community, they didn't like tourism at all. And the second problem was this alcohol tourism. But now it is changed. People in the island, a lot of people and a lot of families get profit for tourism by selling traditional food, homemade bread, for example, or fishes, or handicraft, or offering accommodation. And this is changing a lot. So it seems that the majority of people accept tourism now and want to develop this tourism more and more. Tourism problem in the island is that it is very seasonal. It is the tourists are coming usually because in Estonia the summer holiday in July, all the tourists are coming in July and since the middle of August, and then the island all the time full of people, and it's maybe for local people and those who offer accommodations a little bit stressful They are overworked, end of the summer. They are so tired, they can't speak anymore. And it is not good. Then you are not good servant anymore. Also, if it's coming one time, all this mass is coming at one time. But we are thinking what to do, and that the season will be longer. And I myself develop a kind of open air museum, Metsama farmhouse here. And the idea is that things are happening all over the year, and things are also happening in the evening. There will be movie nights where we are show documentaries about Kihnu culture or about other Finno-Ugric people, or we organize cafe there sometimes, and some events in the evening where people can go. Spend free time.
Is Kihnu also welcoming tourists from indigenous peoples of this world?
Of course. We have the same interests, and this is our main interest also. We want to learn more about indigenous people, and we of course very carefully listen and read if we find some article about indigenous people and how they solve their problems and about the law, indigenous people and communities, and this is everything is very 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 interesting for us, and we are very much wait those people here and expect that they are coming and contact with us if they want to come to the island. We are welcome them very warmly.
Okay, well, I think that's a good note how to wrap up this podcast episode. Thank you, Mare, for joining. And so if you like this podcast, please also check out the previous 4 episodes. They are all available at indigenoushour.org, also on iTunes if you subscribe to the Indigenous Hour, and you can also join our Facebook page. We will end with another Kihnu song. So maybe, Mare, what will be the last one we'll listen to?
The last one will be the woman song and woman singing, which is a traditional and which is strong tradition since beginning of 20th century.
Jelusand õedel läht kaski, jelusand laulda õhta aega kaski. Kallisand laulda kaste aega kaski, kallisand laulda kaste aega kaski. Jelus on laulda õhta aega kaski.